Hello, I'm Nick Liard.
And I'm Mark Gentile from Sudbury.com.
And this is Pints and Politics. On this episode, we are joined by Mark Saray, incumbent Liberal MP in Nickel Belt and candidate for the Liberal Party. How's it going?
Very good, very good. Good afternoon.
So the title, Pints and Politics, we order a drink, obviously. That's how it goes. So now we are going to have them brought over to us.
As you are wont to do.
Thank you. Well, thank you. So we're going to describe what we got, and yep. I got something similar than what I had before.
Oh, really?
I know. So this
here.
Hey,
here's Sam. Yeah. Hey, Sam.
Hey, Sam.
Hello.
This
thank you.
Is the Harvest Moon. I've had it before, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Is it because you have a predilection for dropping your trow and flashing moon? Is that why you got that drink?
No, not at all, Mark.
Oh.
Why are you bringing that up?
Sorry, I forgot we agreed not
to
talk about that.
It's not the late night special.
Right.
What did you get, Mark?
I got a Sprite.
Because he's campaigning.
Good. Yes.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Campaigning we didn't think 7 days
through.
A week.
We didn't think that through?
No, we didn't think
well,
that through.
Well, I mean, it went candidate to candidate, you know. Some candidates were enthusiastically into the pints.
A little liquid courage, right?
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, this is Sprite liquid this courage. Is, yeah. As we do,
there we go.
A little cheers.
Cheers.
Before we go.
It's all good.
And, of course, I'm nursing the same cracked canoe that I've been nursing for 2 days.
We almost stopped mentioning it because we just don't want to embarrass you.
I'm not campaigning. I'm just a lightweight.
After you, sir.
Oh, first question to me, Mark.
Yes.
Okay, so spending in the Liberal platform means another 4 years of deficits if the Liberals are reelected. So about $20 billion of deficit per year, if I remember my reading correctly, in and around that. Justin Trudeau calls these investments. He won't call the... generally is avoided using the word deficit. So what I want to know is, why is running deficits a responsible way for the Liberals to govern?
Well, what we're hearing from people all across the riding and all across the country to that effect is they want dollars to be looking at for infrastructure. When you look at expenses, investments, when we're looking at, we'll use the example here, Highway 69, $169 million that we've provided support to the province. That's an investment in the long run. So when you look at deficits year to year and the overall budget of the federal government is $300 billion. So you're looking at less than 1% is the annual deficit. And when you look back, right now the servicing on the debt is $7 for every dollar. That's where it was in the 1960s. Yes, we had issues with the deficit in the late 1990s, mm-hmm. and we had Paul Martin and Jean Chrétien address that.
They sure did.
At the time, we had a debt to GDP ratio was 66%. Today, it's 30%. And we're recognized around the world. Moody, the bond rating, has indicated Canada's one of 11 countries that have that threshold low at 30%. So it's really time when we look at investments in the future, and you hear here in Greater Sudbury Roads, and look at the investments we've made with the city of Sudbury.
Yep.
Over $17 million just to repair roads.
Yeah, you invested in Mailey Drive as
and
well.
And then $26 million in Mailey Drive, Highway 69. And then Killarney, looking at St. Charles, Mark Stay. All those investments in those small communities is really necessary, in my opinion. So when you look at it, we got to be responsible, yes. But when you look at that deficit as being, less than 1%, those investments are looking at the long run. Plus, when we look at our youth for the future, the economy overall, the uncertainty worldwide, is if we have better training tools. Those investments that we made to Laurentian, to Collège Boreal, to Cambrian College, those are investments that will last, not just the 1 year. You talk about a deficit of $20 billion for this year, but we're looking at the long term. And the long term is having better equipment, better schools, better education, so that we prepare our young individuals in the North here to stay in the North, one. And then also looking at jobs in the future.
Sure.
And there's a lot of these examples of the investments, you call it expenses, investments, but you got to look at, and this is different than the tax boutique credits that the Conservatives are proposing. Mm-hmm. When you look at specific investments in the long term. And when you do a bridge, that's good for 50, 80 years.
Okay.
So you can't really measure that on a yearly. So I'm proud of that investment, but we have to look at more targeted, responsible investments in communities to make sure they grow, and that's what we're doing.
Okay.
Perfect. Let's go back to high school, Mark.
Okay.
We're going back a little bit in time.
This is before you had the chest hair that you're so prominently showing off today.
This grew actually overnight.
Really?
Thanks to the couple beers I had yesterday.
Do you know which beer it was that prompted the chest hair?
It was the Harvest Moon. That's why I'm growing it. It's Rogaine, actually.
Oh, okay.
And then I'm going to touch a gray later.
Oh, nice.
Good.
Right?
Yeah. That's grooming tips from Nick Liard.
Brought to you by Just for Men. Let's say you're running for school president in high school.
I did, and I won.
There you go. Question asked and answered, Your Honor.
Since grade five, school president. High school, twice, school president in high school.
No, you're just bragging.
I loved it. I love politics.
Okay.
It makes a difference getting involved.
This makes this question so much better. What was the one thing that you promised in running that campaign for school president? What was that one thing that you promised, that first thing that you wanted to get elected with?
That's interesting because there's many, many.
You were
going to
run a deficit. You were going to run a deficit.
On pudding.
Look at 1984.
Okay.
Much Music. We brought over here in Sturgeon Falls video at the school dance.
Oh, like the Much Music video dance party?
Yes.
Oh,
that's what you promised, and you delivered.
And we delivered.
It wasn't an empty promise. Nice.
So it was. Overall, you know, being involved with school council for the 4 years, president for two, it was really giving back. High school was fun. But for me, I kind of joke about this too. I mean, you could define fun. Some have had different types of fun. But for me in high school, my favorite program was question period. And I know that's might be odd for
No, not necessarily.
No, for a school president. I mean, you got to follow it.
Because my father was in politics federally in 1960. My uncle was in politics in 93. Also had two uncles in Chemisford and in Sturgeon Falls as municipal councilors. So for me, my mom was always involved in all the women's associations and businesses in the area. So for me, it was natural to take leadership role, but the key here that I still hear today, and I hear from people that have met my dad, is helping people that I would, because you know, captain of the hockey team and school president, I was often asked to pick people for the baseball at school. I would pick people that typically pick the last,
like
you
me.
Know. I didn't say you, Mark. But, you know, how do you help people out? And that's why I love about getting involved and the politics.
He turned that around
school,
on you.
He did really turn it around on me. I did not expect this at all. You play catcher?
It depends on the sport.
So high school for me was a lot of engagement. So I really, really enjoyed. But I drank a lot of pop, too. So.
the last part about your family is going to lead into a next question. That's what we call a tease, ladies and gentlemen. But your question next.
Oh, I thought you were going to segue.
No, okay. I'm saving it.
So this is a bit of a longer one, but I'm sure you've heard this. I'm sure people have brought this up at the door, but I just want to preface the question a little bit, okay? So Canada has some of the strictest firearm laws in the world, but part of the Liberal platform is to tighten up those laws, particularly around handguns and around assault rifles.
Correct.
So, but you also want to give, and in that, you also want to potentially give municipalities the power to decide whether or not they want to ban handguns within a municipality, if I've read the platform correctly.
Correct.
And I'm pretty sure about that. So.
Yes.
But of the thousands of firearm crimes that are referenced by the Prime Minister in the release that was put out talking about this issue and pushing for tighter laws, more than 2,000 of those crimes happened in Toronto alone. Mm. By far, Toronto leads Canada by, you know, leaps and bounds when it comes to gun crime. So my question, Mark, is there are hundreds of thousands of law-abiding Canadians who enjoy shooting handguns, who enjoy shooting assault rifles at shooting ranges where you're allowed to do it, and they aren't out shooting people. Mm-hmm. So it seems like the Liberals are trying to secure more votes in Toronto by making a law for Toronto that actually punishes gun owners in the rest of the country. How do you respond to that?
Well, Mark, I mean, you got to take a step back here. Safety is one of our primary concerns as a government. Mm-hmm. There has been mass shootings in many cities. So we have to look at...
But not in Canada.
In Canada there has been. Yes, there sure has been. Not to the degree in the U.S., no. You know, but there has been. There has been several. So when you look at, so let's take a step back. When I was first elected in 2015, became chair of the Northern Ontario Caucus. Mm-hmm. And then shortly after, chair of the National Rural Caucus. Mm-hmm. And as you know, Liberal Party has had the history with the gun registry, which we, and to all of you viewers, that is not coming back.
Nope.
So let's make sure that that's not an issue at all. And what I've done, part of the Liberal Caucus, directly back to Ralph Goodale, and then now Minister Blair, and directly to Cabinet and the Prime Minister, is to ensure that we do not have any regulations that affect the law-abiding hunters. And we've done that.
Mm-hmm.
But why do we need to address some of these issues? We've done over $300 million border security.
Mm-hmm.
70% of the guns coming into Canada are coming through our border.
Right, but this law would only publish, this law though would only punish law-abiding gun owners, not illegal gun owners, because illegal guns are always illegal.
Well, Mark, this is our military assault rifles.
Mm-hmm.
Do you need this for hunting? No, you don't.
Sure, but there's still a legal product in Canada that you have to jump through hoops to get. But there are people in Canada who would like to go to a gun range and be able to shoot an assault rifle. Why shouldn't they be allowed to do that? They're not out shooting people.
Well, these guns have been designed to kill people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's face it. When you look at these military assault rifles,
sure.
They've been... So tightening rules and banning them. And also, we're going to look at a buyback program. So it's, we're not penalizing. We're going to buy them back. So these are responsible measures. That's one measure.
Mm-hmm.
The other measure, looking at better storage.
Mm-hmm.
No law-abiding gun owner will disagree of having consistent,
sure.
good storage.
But law-abiding gun owners already generally... But my question, Mark, wasn't about that. My question was, this law seems designed to for Toronto, not for Nickel Belt.
Well, what happened in Quebec City?
Again, not Nickel Belt. We're talking about laws that are designed to attract urban voters.
Yeah, but this is not going to affect Nickel Belt.
You don't think so?
No.
You don't think
there are? I mean, there's a few probably that use a military assault rifle for a gun range,
sure,
across the north or across Canada.
Mm-hmm.
But there are others that have used this as a killing machine.
Mm-hmm.
And these guns have been designed. So we're not talking about semi-automatics. We're talking about military assault rifles.
And handguns.
So the assault rifles, no problem. The handguns, then there are debates around, but again, it doesn't affect the hunter.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't affect, there's the gun enthusiast that range. But now what we're doing is we're going to talk with the municipalities and see. And to your point, then if Toronto wants to ban it, then they ban it. It doesn't affect anywhere else.
Yeah.
So the municipality will have that right to look at, but it means they could also have it permitted in the gun range in the city of Toronto. They could ban it for the city, but the gun range could have a handgun. The municipality will decide that. So I think that is a fair, but also when you look at those two elements, you look at the border security, but you also look at the investments we've made to make sure we reduce poverty, that we reduce the kids that are going into gangs. That's all a complete package. You can't do just one measure.
Okay.
And we're the only party. The Conservatives are not at all going to be doing anything to look at curbing violence in gangs. They haven't done it.
Yeah.
And so we're proposing some responsible measures,
yeah.
that will not affect hunters, that will not affect gun hunters. And I've talked to several since being elected. That is a topic because the hunting community or in Northern Ontario especially is a bit leery of the Liberal Party, and because of the gun registry and my uncle Ben Seddy was a member that voted against the gun registry and
he was very vocal about his opposition to the registry.
I've been very vocal internally within the caucus and publicly to say that if there was a gun registry I would vote against it, but we're not bringing that back.
Okay.
We're doing responsible measures and it's not affecting any of the gun law-abiding citizens. And if it is, I want to hear from it, then I could bring it back to the ministers to make sure some of those categories and there's, because it takes about a year to change laws.
Yeah.
You got the parliament, you got the senate, we have committees, so there's an opportunity to make changes. And that's what I've done for C71, and now this platform piece is a lot of what the Liberal MPs and hearing across the country to do some responsible thing.
Okay.
Slight shift from guns. You talked about your family, your dad, your uncle, both MPs. Let's picture them at the height of their political careers. You and those two are in an election together. Who wins out of those three?
Wow. Well, I would say my father was really, a wise man, and he passed away last year, and his experience was amazing, because he the oldest of 16 children in Dizogny. If people know that, it's between Field and the River Valley. They were.
I think it's the metropolis of Dizogny.
The metropolis. And they were raised very, very poor, living off the land and farming and hunting. And then, he was brought to Sudbury Sacré-Cœur, grade 9, by the Jesuits. And the eldest of a family of 16, French Catholic, you become a priest. So that was kind of the training. So he did his schooling in Laurentian and then went to Montreal. But then, thank God, he changed his mind. Thank you. and for 4 months before being ordained as a priest, and then he left. But he's always been like the Saint Alliance in Sturgeon Falls, the Saint Horizon for women in Sturgeon. He founded all these organizations and to help people out. So and because of his educational background, and also he was an orator, and also really, really good fiddle player. And I wish I could play a fiddle, but I always called him the Elvis with a violin.
So you would play second fiddle.
I would play second fiddle to my dad.
Well,
yeah, not bad. Yeah, and my uncle's been a passionate person all his life in the area. So that's a tough question, but I had to give the nod to my father.
Okay, if you wanted to, I want to talk about some of the milestones or some of the things that you believe that you've achieved for the people of Nickel Belt over the past 4 years. So I don't want you to go through an exhaustive list of every item that you've done. I just would like
There's
you to
lots.
Pick. Sure. I'd like you to pick three things that you've done that you would like to remind the voters of Nickel Belt that you delivered for them over the past 4 years for Nickel Belt.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the first I passed in Parliament in 2017, first ever Ottawa proclaims itself to develop a national senior strategy. So from there, I was able to get a lot of the funding for the local seniors here in the area. And I could name them all, but there's a lot. And these types of fundings have been available since 2004, and they weren't accessing them. My staff, working with local organizations to make sure they get access to this funding. So the seniors groups, when you look at, and I'll name some, from Azilda to Noelleville to Capriol. I mean, they're in the community, and they've been really, really, they're all volunteers trying to make a difference in those areas. So providing them with the grants for their building, for their programming, Lockerbie Legion, for example, Mary, they have such pride. And so one, the seniors has been really, really a big involvement in my part and passion to make sure that the seniors have a quality of life. The second component I would say is really supporting municipalities. When I was first elected, the first 3 weeks I visited with all the mayors in my riding and most of the councillors and to try and understand what their priorities were. And then from there, then we're able to make a difference. And I know some, opposition members or people say politics doesn't matter, but it does. So from the feedback I received, I was able to work with the minister. Now, we have a rural fund now for rural municipalities. Before, municipalities like St. Charles or now Greater Sudbury, because Amalgamate is different, but the other municipalities like in West Nipissing and other places here are competing against larger municipalities. And now they're not. So, and then plus, if you're 5,000 or less, you don't have to contribute as much. So a lot of those elements with the municipalities. And the third, I think, is accessibility, like a Zilda Therapeutic Pool. Got $1 million for them. Mm-hmm. That some of the churches that have clubs there,
sure.
So 75,000, and to make their place more accessible and the growing population. So that you know, those three, and I'm sure there's many more, but those three are dear to my heart. And now I'm working on the internet side and making
okay.
sure, because that's a bigger working with companies.
Access to
high speed
to
and affordable
high speed,
internet
yeah.
is really important, and cell coverage. So
yeah.
But that's,
especially in Nickel Belt, yeah.
Well, that's it. And but the key here is, for me as an MP, a federal MP, is being kind of that quarterback, because
okay.
you got all these individual organizations and they have no idea, because the government is complicated.
Yeah.
Forms are not friendly. Process is not friendly. And government, let's face it, in Ottawa and Toronto, focus on the larger centers. So that's my role, to make sure that those small organizations, Northern Ontario, are part, and how do you influence caucus,
okay.
how do you influence to make sure that these organizations receive the funding and the support. So for me, it's been fun. I love this job. I love my job. I love meeting with people. I love interacting and making a difference and getting results. So,
okay.
So that's good.
I have one final question for you. Nickel Belt is a massive area. You're an outdoorsman.
Yes.
You love to fish. So I want to hear the story of the biggest fish that you caught, because I'm sure it's changed over time. I'm sure it started at, you know, 8 pounds, and now it's the whale that's up, the skeleton that's in Science North.
I caught that one, actually.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, that's nice of you.
Sure.
Endangered species. I want you to tell your biggest fish story, and then if you will, one of your favorite spots to fish in the Nickel Belt area.
Well, there's many places to fish in Nickel Belt. It's a gem for fishermen, for sure. So for me, we'll lose younger, a lot of places, but I'll just look recently.
Okay.
So we'll just lose, I'll look like this summer, for example. We just moved into a new place, Bear Lake, in Kipling. And I'm really glad, because my wife was with me, okay? So I'm kayak fishing. I love kayak fishing. Okay,
oh, nice.
So this was the.
So you had a witness, which is good.
I had a witness. You see,
it happened.
It's his wife, though. She can't testify against him.
Well, no, it's important. So
double
kayak
jeopardy.
Fishing. Actually, it was not this summer. It was this spring. It was the second time we went out, so I didn't bring a net. We're just having fun. A new lake, you know. So, a dotty pickerel. You know, sometimes the French English,
yep.
The dotty. and I had my line, but I had no net. And a bit impatient, and I was reeling it in. My wife was coming, said, wait. I didn't wait, so. And the fish, I tell you, it was at least 30 to 36 inches.
Holy, wow. Geez.
It was, and my wife agrees with me, okay?
But you can ask her, he says.
You could ask her. So for me, the dory, the pickerel was one of the bigger ones that I've ever. But
did you land it?
No, it hit my kayak, you see? So by hitting my kayak, because I didn't wait for my wife to come, she was just turning around the corner.
Should've
with the kayak.
Should have listened to
your wife. And I didn't listen to my wife. I was a bit
Number
impatient.
One rule.
And I was trying to lift it, and I tried to get my hand. Like, imagine you're in a kayak here. So
yeah. Yeah.
So I missed. It hit the kayak, and it unhooked. And I've been going to that same spot every week.
Of course you have.
Every week.
The monster
and my
there.
Wife is telling me, stop talking about it, though. Now she's fed up now. Now she says, stop talking.
It's the one that got away.
About,
it will never,
yeah.
The story will never go away.
Yeah, that's right.
So, and then from a favorite place, I'll go back to Des Aunier between Field and Rivera, Squaw Lake, with my brother, my sister, my parents. We were always on the lake. So we had La Barbotte catfish. Small. So we were doing that a lot, and pike, that lake. So
it's
a
good
lot
thing
of
you're
it.
Translating. I would have said giraffe.
So that part was that lake is, you know, childhood memories.
Yeah, for sure.
Always remember we had a little pontoon boat there, so with music and everything else and fishing.
Nice.
And I grew up there until I was grade 13.
Classic Northern Ontario story.
And to that, thank you very much, Mark Saray, incumbent Liberal MP in Nickel Belts. Best of luck in the upcoming
Cheers.
Election.
Cheers. Oh, thank you.